This is Outspoken, the podcast that's not afraid to say exactly what you're thinking.
Our names are Amy, Kate and Sophie Torber. We're identical triplets, but we often don't have identical opinions. So sometimes things can get heated.
Outspoken covers all things reality TV, influencers, entertainment and issues facing women.
That is so fetch.
Thank you.
I had a moment on the weekend where I realized I was a proper adult. Now, I know we're 32, but I do think you can be in your 30s and still not officially an adult.
Is that a bit like Sophie not being a real adult? Because I have come to her house so many times and I'll go to the downstairs bathroom and there'll be no toilet roll.
Oh, that happens every time I'm here. I'm like, well, no, it's more the upstairs bathroom. And so it's like, oh, well, we didn't bring it upstairs.
Look, I'm practically a Gen Zer here. I date someone 5 years younger than me. I'm trying to keep it pretty cool. So I try and, you know, pretend that I've forgotten these things.
I do like that you've actually admitted that it is a 5-year age difference. Because in our Facebook community, you were trying to push it as 4 and I had to correct you.
Well, it's technically 4.5.
Whatever, Sophie. Kate, can you tell us what it is that actually made you an adult?
Okay, so I realized that, so we've got 2 bathrooms, but we also have soap in our laundry and our kitchen. So basically 4 soap, like pump dispensers.
Wasn't that 3 that you said?
No, we've got 2 bathrooms.
Oh, okay.
So I decided that we needed more soap and I made the adult decision to buy a 1-liter bottle of the liquid soap because it was cheaper and it was better for the environment. And I was walking around the house and I had such joy filling up my like soap dispensers. I just felt like really accomplished from it.
I feel like my boyfriend, he does that. So you say that we're not adults, but he literally buys soap like it's going out of fashion, but that's more because he's a germaphobe.
No, but does he buy the liter bottle?
Yeah, he does.
Oh, okay,
he
does. Maybe Brandon's the adult in your relationship.
Do you know what makes me feel like an adult is when I actually bring my reusable bags to the shop? That's something I always forget and Dale will be like, have you got your bags? And the other day I actually remembered them and I felt like such a legend.
Oh, well, I mean, Reese and I get paid out for doing our big shop, which I think is pretty normal. And I've got to say, we always bring our disposable bags. And do you know what is the saddest thing? I'm outing myself. We have a competition to see who can get closest to how much the groceries are going to cost.
That, I feel like my life has hit an ultimate low when that is happening on the weekend. Because we always joke that when we hear you doing your big shop, that that's like your outing for the day.
Well, that's a bit mean.
Wait, is there a reward if you get it right?
No, it's just the pride of guessing it correct.
Well, talking about the supermarket, I feel like this is another one, another moment where you kind of realize you're either an adult or old. It's when you're walking along the aisles and you hear a song and you're like, wow, I love this song. This was an absolute banger back in the day.
That's funny you say that because Reese's mum actually apparently only shops at Coles because they play good music.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you know what another one is? I was thinking about this the other day. I actually saw this on TikTok and it was saying that when you're in your 20s, you just, you know, you use a makeup wipe and you just chuck it in the bin. But when you're in your 30s, you use that makeup wipe to then wipe down your sink and your bench. And I find myself doing that all the time.
I couldn't relate to that one at all because my sink is literally covered in orange powder.
Yeah, yours is gross. I don't use the makeup wipe because I feel like it's got makeup on it, but I do that with a tissue, I've got to say.
Well, maybe, Kate, you need to start actually doing it. And so especially if your sinks are orange, which they shouldn't be orange in the first place, you need to use the makeup wipe.
If my landlord is listening, they are glistening white every time.
I actually had a moment this week at work where I felt really old. So this 20-year-old girl came in and she's like doing the social media for a fashion brand in Adelaide. And she wanted to pick my brain about Facebook advertising. And I was scrolling through having a look at posts that the page had made. And I'm like, oh, is that Lauren Gibbs? So she is about, I think, 30. And she dates Bryce Gibbs, who's a Crows player. And I was like,
oh, bad. Should we be naming her? It's very inchly.
But I think she's absolutely gorgeous. And I was like, oh, wow. So she's modeling for your page. And then the girl goes, yeah, she actually attracts a bit of an older audience. Like, I think she's like 35, 40. And I knew she was younger than me. And I was like, as in Lauren Gibbs is younger than me. And I was like, oh my God, how old does she think I am?
It's funny you say that because we had another incident where it was about age. So when Kate and I were at Cook Eye.
But this is going to pump our tires.
I'm pumping up my own tires here. So we were at Cook Eye And we chatted to the girl last weekend that we were there, shows how many times we're there, and she knew that it was our birthday. So when she saw it, she's like, how was your birthday? Are you heading out this weekend? And I said, oh, I'm heading to Kate's house just to go out for to have dinner at her house. I'm like, what about you? Yeah, heading to RCC.
Just going over to Kate's to fill up some soap dispensers.
No, like, we had tacos. So she's like, yeah, just heading to the Royal Croquet Club tonight. And I was like, oh, I haven't been there at all this year. Probably haven't been there for about 5 years.
Well, no, the phrase you kept using was back in the day. And I knew this girl did not think we were 32 because she dropped that she was 21 and she was kind of talking as if we were on the same level, which I really appreciated.
Yeah, so the conversation got so awkward. We had to say, I'm sorry, but we're a lot older than you. And then she was shocked when we said that we were 32. She thought we were about 23. So, like, I was feeling on top of the world for the rest of the weekend.
Yeah, but then I also reflected. We were wearing activewear with our hair pulled back. I was like, should I start dressing, like, a bit more, like, I don't know, older? Like,
More sophisticated.
More mature, yeah.
I was going to ask, were you guys wearing your new jeans and your,
no,
your middle parts?
I actually do have a middle part. So maybe that's sort of why. But no, I wasn't wearing my big, wide, fat-legged jeans.
I don't have them, and I'm actually beginning to be really uncomfortable whenever I go out because I just don't even know what to wear. Like, I hate everything I own.
I was wearing my skinny jeans the other day, and Brandon's like, oh, so you've opted for your old lady jeans today.
See, the thing I think is you just got to make charity sexy. And I did that, really. I mean, it's how I started. I was one of the first who thought, well, you know, charity needs PR. Or it just ends up like this, you know. Sounds like a sort of sad shop like this, where the only people who come into the shop are the ones that need the charity anyway, so what's the point?
On Monday's episode, we discussed how micro-influencer Caitlin Rodriguez branded her influencer garage sale as a charity event, despite not naming who the charity is and how much is being donated. Now, we have a bit of an update. Since the episode aired, Wasteless has subsequently deleted its previous post about the event, including the poster, which included comments questioning where the money is going and the commentary surrounding the ACCC laws regarding the event. Now, a new event poster has instead been put up and the words charity event have been taken down. It instead says that 50% of ticket sales and 50% of revenue from all stall hire is going to the charity. It has been confirmed by Wasteless in the comment section that no money from the sale of the actual clothing is going to the charity.
It's actually so embarrassing for Wasteless because they pride themselves on donating a minimum of 10% of every sale that they make through the website. However, for the charity event or so-called charity event, that goes out the window. So that doesn't make any sense to me. So hang on. Now you're giving 50% of stall hire, but what does that actually mean? Because does Wasteless only hire one stall, or does each influencer that's donating clothes have their own stall? And surely that's not an expensive thing to do.
And I'm sorry, how embarrassing that they're charging the influencers who are in all of their marketing collateral to pay for a stall hire. Like, doesn't make any sense. Wouldn't it be the money from their clothes that they're selling?
And plus her boyfriend is an owner
ex-boyfriend.
Owns the market that's been selling. So surely they're getting mates rates for those stalls.
Well, just to reiterate your original point, Kate, a follower asked Caitlin on the Wasteless Instagram whether the money from the sale of the clothes actually goes to the charity. Caitlin confirmed, this is from our online store. A minimum of 10% of every sale goes directly to plan when purchased from our online store. The in real life market is a one-off activation and is separate to our online store. However, we still wanted to give back to plan. So 50% of the proceeds from the event, in brackets, stall hire and entry, go directly to plan. So I'm a little bit confused here. Why, when you do this automatically for a charity, do you then tout the event, a huge charity event, and you're not doing the original offering?
What blows my mind even further is now they're offering a bring a friend along if you've already purchased a ticket. So obviously ticket sales aren't going well. However, they're cutting into the apparent donation revenue.
Can I just point out, it's obvious that Wasteless listened to our podcast because our podcast page has since been blocked from being able to view their Instagram. And only since the episode aired have they actually answered questions about where the money is going to.
Also, in regards to the fact that they're allowing people to bring in a friend for free, does that not show what their true motivations are? Their motivations isn't to get as many people there to raise as much money for the charity. Their motivation is to get people there to buy clothes, into the influencer's pocket and Wasteless's pocket.
Do you know what I find embarrassing?
Is the whole thing?
Yeah. I find it awful for the influencers who've been dragged into it, in terms of there are some big Sydney influencers who are coming along to this event. There's Sammy Robinson, there's Amelia from Love Island and Josh from Love Island. And by all accounts, these influencers have no idea that this is not truly what it is being touted as originally as a charity event.
Do you not think that they should be doing their due diligence and look into it themselves?
And we don't know what they've actually been told. We don't know if they were told, hey, we're going to tout this as a charity event, except you're making bank on all of the clothes that you got for free. Did you guys see a comment also from Caitlin saying that they hadn't actually named the charity because they hadn't got final sign-off?
Well, why are you promoting it then?
Exactly right. And it sounds odd that they didn't get final sign-off despite already aligning with that brand for their apparent 10% off on their every purchase.
Well, do you know what was I found quite humorous? Another user wrote under the photo on Wasis's Instagram saying, I really doubt that you guys are paying for the market stall fee. Hope no one attends the event. Support local and small businesses with a great cause. And Caitlin replied, and this comment has subsequently been deleted. She said, hey, thank you for your concern. With full transparency, we are in fact paying Bronte Surf Life Saving Club a venue hire fee. We are running ads, paying other marketing expenses in brackets, signage, purchasing tables, clothing racks, and staff fees for assistance on the day. It's like, well, how much really goes into creating a crappy poster which you've had to redo chucking a bit behind Facebook advertising?
It looks like it's been created on Canva, which you can get for free, and also Eventbrite, how they're flogging the tickets off, is a free service too.
And I'm sure that the Bondi Bazaar Market have a few tables that are easily accessible. Isn't that what you're paying for when you're hiring the stall?
Yeah. How do you guys think Wasis are making money? Because is it the influencers that are receiving the full amount that people go to buy their clothes, or are they receiving the 50% of ticket sales?
No, I believe that the influencers receive a percentage for the clothes the same way when they share them through the website.
No, do you know what though? That is interesting because normally if it's sold through the website, they claim that, plan gets a 10%. However, Caitlin then gets the money also because she's taking the photos and organizing the sale. Whereas if these influencers are actually having to attend the event and sell their own clothes
and pay to have a stall, apparently.
I don't know how Wasteless and Caitlin are making any money off that. Well, which is maybe why they took the 10%. Maybe the 10% is going to her rather than plan.
You mean 50%?
No, the normal 10%.
Mm. Well, I wonder if that's why they suddenly have ticket sales, and only because this podcast called them out, have they gone, oh shit, we better say that 50% is donated to charity, and they must be taking the other 50%.
Do you know what I found quite amusing? Today, the influencers started sharing the new poster on their social channels, but Jade Tunchi's sister clearly didn't get the memo.
I love that you're not even calling her by her actual
name. I don't
even
know who she is.
Jade Tunchi's sister.
She shared the old poster, which had it was a charity event, and Wasteless still reshared it. If you've got, all this spend on marketing, would you, as the person who's doing the marketing, not say take that down immediately and put up the correct marketing collateral?
Well, I haven't actually seen any Instagram or Facebook ads. That's not to say they don't exist, but do you think this marketing spend she's referring to is actually paying the influencers to promote the event?
Well, she claimed it was for signage. They must have a big sign outside of the Bronte Surf Club.
If someone in our Facebook community floated the idea of attending the event just to tell us what was going on. I mean, what a legend in the first place. But if you do happen this weekend to go, let us know what it's like. At least the money, some of the money. Don't buy any of the clothes because that's not going to charity, but support it through the ticket sale.
Or maybe just go down to your Vinnie's and buy some clothes.
Mm.
I was going
to
say,
maybe the Vinnie's that Beck Judd frequents. Maybe. I'd like to go to that one. And just to wrap it up, we actually had a listener send us a really great podcast recommendation on this topic. So the Culture Club have done a really great podcast regarding greenwashing and fast fashion, and I'd highly recommend checking that out. We'll leave the details in our show notes.
How much water, Johnny, do you think has gone into growing the cotton necessary to make this jacket?
Probably about 800.
Growing the cotton?
Yeah.
To make that jacket?
Yeah.
Will have taken 10,330 litres of water.
Let's get into the influencer wrap. And on Saturday afternoon, Abby Chatfield went on a 4-minute rant on her Instagram story about her outdoor table. Now, Abby was sent the wrong table by a furniture company and she was not happy about it. I've got to say, it really reminded me of Sophie the last couple of weeks going off about her mobile phone.
Oh my gosh. Let's not, can we not have a repeat what the issue is with her mobile phone?
I know. Sophie's had some issues with her phone. It's been sent back. We're not sure if said issues have been fixed, but she was a bit Red Ross, I would say.
Red Ross?
Oh. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Ragefield.
Oh, it's taking all of my energy not to name my phone provider because they have been absolutely hopeless.
Now, let's not get you started, Sophie, but it was quite reminiscent, your ranting. It was reminiscent of Abby's rant on Instagram.
Yeah, but the difference is Sophie didn't put it on Instagram.
No.
I mean, I could have.
Yeah, I could have. She was close to putting on Instagram.
I do actually get the frustration of being sent something that's completely wrong. And I have a different opinion on this story than you do, Kate, because I think she was trying to be funny with this rant.
Yeah, no, I definitely think it started off funny. So Abby explained that she'd spent a month choosing an outdoor table. She'd actually paid someone to put it together. And the company, as I said, sent the wrong table. So she actually went to her story and said that the table was so ugly that it made her feel physically uncomfortable having it in her house. So I'll just throw to a little bit of a snippet of her rant.
It isn't even that bad. It just, oh my God, I'm not even kidding. I don't know if this is like my anxiety or I'm actually getting angry looking at it because it doesn't go with my apartment. So like, look at my beautiful like apartment, like... Nice, everything goes, everything makes sense, everything is being like curated. It takes me so long to choose anything. And then look, oh my God, it looks like, oh, makes me feel physically ill. The man who made it was really nice and really helpful. I'm not being dramatic, it's given me genuine anxiety looking at it. I can't look at it.
I'll give it to Abby. She didn't actually name the brand. She did threaten that if they didn't rectify the situation, she may name them. However, it was very dramatic.
Do you know what I found really interesting? She was mentioning the fact that there were silver little nuts and bolts, I suppose, on the table. And
I think it was nails, Sophie.
Well, whatever, there was some silver element on the table. And it didn't go with the rest of the aesthetics of her house, which she's a very gold, bronzy person.
Well, she said she didn't. I just love Sophie's take on this. She just said that she doesn't have any silver in her house. She doesn't have any silver jewelry.
But it just reminded me because I remember when I was working with a group of girls, all of them were so funny about, you can't wear gold jewelry and then have a silver buckle on your belt. And I'm not the most observant person. That has never struck me as something that's important.
Look, I think she was joking.
I know that she was joking, but it just reminded me of how... So many people think that that's so important that you can't have clashing jewelry.
Yeah, I get that.
Look, I found her rant kind of funny. I found it a little bit overdramatic considering what's actually going on in New South Wales with the flooding at the time. However, I got to the point, it was like, you know, as I said, the video went for 4 minutes and it started to annoy me when she was going on that she hasn't had a break for 6 to 12 months and that she actually hires a lot of people to do stuff because she just doesn't have the time. Now, it seemed a bit contradictory considering she had enough time to rant about the table. And then she started getting really passive aggressive with her followers. It seems to be a bit of a trend at the moment. Now, I understand people can be annoying in DMs. Like, I'm not talking, like, not that I've ever experienced it, but when I see influencers sharing some of the feedback they get, like, obviously the negative stuff's horrible, but even just the sort of like, oh, like really obvious things. And if you're getting that hundreds of times, I can see how that would be annoying, but also, you don't want to bite the hand that feeds you.
But do you not think that she's just creating content by having a rant about the table? I think she's talking about it because it's something that is relatable.
I think what Kate's saying, though, is a lot of followers were annoyed because they felt like she was ranting at them when they were trying to help her.
And also, Soph, I've got to say, I don't think she was being relatable because for most people, purchasing a outdoor table, it's actually really expensive. And then getting someone to make the table and then having a rant about how ugly this table was when it really was a pretty basic table.
I kind of like the table.
Yeah, I didn't really like I liked the one she actually chose. Like, it was a lot nicer.
That one was nicer.
However, it's not like it was some hideous thing. Like, of course, you know, return the table.
Yeah, but it's not what she ordered. The whole thing is...
No, exactly. No, that's fine.
I completely understand the rant. I get it. I think sometimes Abby... she's coming across as joking, and maybe some people don't pick up on the fact that it is a joke, and that's what she probably finds frustrating, because we've got to remember she's receiving these DMs constantly from people who are reading so much into everything she says. It would be frustrating, but she probably should have just put down her phone and not said anything more about it.
Well, it was quite clear that her rant pissed off a lot of her followers, because she was getting a lot of messages calling her privileged. And I did find that disappointing, because I did feel like she was coming across as privileged, and I felt like she's almost in that transition where she's changed a little bit. But like, she's been an influencer for quite a while now, and simple tasks, she's, you know, sending off to air tasks.
I disagree though, because I saw it popping up a lot on a lot of different podcast groups that I follow, and people were saying that they were disappointed by the way that she reacted. But I don't think it's any differently than she's reacted in previous Insta stories. I mean, I find her Insta stories really funny.
I think she was just trying to be funny. I think it was all a bit of a joke, and then people took it too literally.
Yeah, I get the joke part, but I think the thing that's changing is that she used to lash out at people that weren't following her. Like, these were people in the media or other people that had made negative commentary towards her, and of course lash out at them. But now she seems to be lashing out at her own fan base, and I think that's quite dangerous for an influencer to do. As I said, it's biting the hand that feeds you. If you're getting people to unfollow you because they've sent you something that they think is helpful, and you've actually then, she was calling people out in her DMs, screenshotting things and leaving people's names in, which was not content that was like bullying. It was actually helpful advice.
I do get that, and I think if someone's sharing helpful advice, you should always be thankful for it. However, it would be hard to continually be called privileged all the time, and I think that Abby does a lot for women's rights, and I think that it's hard because a lot of the time people online will label other people as privileged anytime they complain about anything. I mean, Kate, even you referenced, with what's going on with the floods. And it's like, yes, it is awful what's going on, but there can be issues in your life that you were still annoyed about despite something bigger happening in the world.
Yeah, but it was the tone. It was the tone. It was like, do you think I've got time to do this? I hire people to do this. Like, it really rubbed me up the wrong way.
Do you reckon that was a joke though?
No, I don't. Like, I think we'll play some of the clip to put it into context.
I don't think she was joking about that. I think she thought that she was explaining why she couldn't do it, and maybe it came across the wrong way.
I'm going to put the clip here and people can make their own assumption about it.
Sorry, but I actually didn't ask if I should sand down the table and try out some arts and crafts and sand and change the corners and change the legs. First of all, I haven't had a day off in probably at least 6 months, probably more towards a year. I haven't had to do some sort of urgent work, so barely have time to call mum. Don't have time to be doing sanding of tables. Sorry. It's not what I ordered, so it'll just get replaced. I've sent the email, it's all good. Sometimes, you know, when you ask someone or you've been to someone about something and you don't ask for a solution, they give you a solution anyway, and you're like, it's not what I want. I want to vent. That's what like 100 of you do in my DMs right now. Guys, I have such little time and energy. That I get Airtasker to do everything. Like, next week I'm going to hang up all the paintings on my wall. You know why? Because I don't have the time or the energy or the craftsmanship to do it. I paid someone on Airtasker to do this. If I'm not going to put the table together myself, am I going to sand it down to make it more like the table that I bought, despite the fact that it was the issue of the supplier, not of the purchaser, me? No. So don't need your solutions. About 100 of you in my DMs literally being passive aggressive, some of you being like, babe, obviously just sand it down and restain it. No, I don't want to. So I'm not going to.
Moving on, and Laura Byrne has caused some controversy after she unknowingly labelled a inclusivity doll terrifying and also scary as fuck on her Instagram story. Now, Laura was out and about with her toddler, Marley May, and she was in the Kmart toy section. And Marley was playing with a doll and she said, I think we have enough crying babies at home. We don't need another one. She then zoomed up on one of the dolls in the aisle and said, this baby here is truly terrifying. This is a scary AF doll. At that point, she zoomed up on the doll and you could see that the doll was labeled as baby Amelia with Down syndrome. Now, the second I saw this story, I knew that there was no malice intended and it had been a complete mistake. And I actually felt sick for her because she's just given birth to her second daughter, Lola, a couple of weeks ago, not long. I think it's been 6 weeks. And she was obviously racing around, trying to do everything. And it's just been a complete disaster, especially with World Down Syndrome Day celebrated on the day after on the Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw this too and my stomach dropped because you just knew that there was, as you said, Kate, there was no malice at all behind this. And I just knew that this was going to be huge on social media.
Yeah, I was just thinking about the Daily Mail headlines.
Mm. I think the thing that was really promising, though, was people saw it for what it was, a mistake, and not something that she intended. And I think that was really helped by the heartfelt apology she put out there. So let's play a clip of it.
I just want to quickly jump on here, and I'm probably drawing more attention to something that I, fuck me, I just can't even begin to describe how sorry I am. I have just received a whole heap of messages from people. I put up a story. We were running through Kmart and I was like, this doll looks scary. AF is exactly what I said. And there's a doll in Kmart that I thought, genuinely just thought looked tired. And so many of you guys have messaged me to let me know that it was actually an activity doll. And I feel sick to my stomach for the mistake that I made. So I had no idea and I'm really, really sorry for offending anyone. It was totally unintentional.
This is an excellent example of how to make a public apology. She was extremely sincere and she took full responsibility. I mean, she even cried in it. You can't put that on. I do think, though, it's a really helpful reminder for those who have big followings to be so careful with what you post. I mean, maybe film and then once you're sitting down and you're, you know, looking at the story properly, post.
I mean, this poor woman, she's got a newborn baby and also a toddler. She's probably had no sleep and has taken her daughter to the shop. So I do feel really sorry for her. And I also feel for anyone who it may have caused any upset for any families. But I think she's addressed it really well and hopefully we can all just move on from it.
Yeah, and as you said, Kate, a great example of maybe how other influential people should apologise if they've been caught out doing the wrong thing.
Are you ready to hear Pod's verdict?
If I missed, yeah.
Pod computes, you are a tantastic, totally plastic queen of the Oompa Loompas.
What are you going to do to me, Pod?
I'm going to turn you into a natural beauty.
Okay.
Let's get into snog, marry and avoid. And we've actually decided to rate triplets. Well, they're not really triplets, but they bloody all look the same. They're influencers Talia Skeynes, Ali Outen and M Davies. Because I thought it was kind of interesting because, as I said, they all look the same, but they've got different personalities.
So they're all blonde, about a size 6. You're kind of typical looking influencer.
Big boobs,
yep.
Lip filler, that type of thing.
I feel like this is going to be really difficult to choose.
Look, no, it's quite easy for me. I would marry Talia Skeynes. I actually think she's got a great personality. She's smart. She's a lawyer. She's got a villa in Bali. Yeah, I'm going to pick Talia. I think I'm going to have to choose to avoid Ali Outen after her terrible brand launch the other day.
Hasn't she also been known for injecting tan or something?
Yes, it did come out in a YouTube video. So she put up a clip of her to-do list and it said inject tan and that was swiftly taken down. So I don't think that really aligns with my value. So I will pash M Davies. She'd be a bit wild on the party scene, I believe. So...
Dude, yeah, I can have a party patch.
Wild party patch with M Davies.
I have to agree with the Talia Skeynes one because I actually genuinely do like her. She comes across as a really likable person on her Instagram, a bit more down to earth than the other two.
She even gets Maccas. Like, that's a bit fun. And she seems to cook for Mitch, which I like.
And she is smart. I reckon I'd have a bit to talk to her about.
Mm.
But with the others, can I choose to avoid both of them? Because I just would have zero interest in speaking to
you. You have to pick one to kiss.
Oh,
kiss her.
I reckon Ali. I don't like how M Davies has that chair that looks like it belongs in a hospital.
Mm.
Oh my gosh, you just stole what I was going to say. I was literally going to say that I could not live with M Davies, so I couldn't marry her because of her taste in furniture. That shocker chair.
Yeah, but you could pash her still, surely.
Yeah,
pash her on the chair.
Oh, it's a bit. Don't say what? That. Anyway, I think I would have to choose to pash M Davies just for the clout because I think she's a bit more...
She's a bit more famous, I suppose.
I hope people realise that we're actually joking. I hope no one thinks we're being serious. Anyway, I've got
No, I think they seriously think we want to pash M Davies.
No, but I meant for the clout. Obviously Talia Skeynes, she seems really lovely, really switched on, really intelligent.
She's got an absolute banger body as well. I've got to say that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I'd avoid Ali, I think. Well, I think that's all we've got time for today. We do have a really exciting episode coming on Monday.
Oh, I'm salivating over it already. I'm really excited.
We're going to be joined by a huge media lawyer in Sydney, a very well-known one.
Well, it's actually your personal lawyer, isn't it, Amy?
How fancy do I sound having my own personal lawyer? Yes, he was my lawyer when I was going through some legal issues with a big network. He's well-known in the business, and he's going to be talking to us about the legalities around celeb spell check.
Can I just specify that he's not your lawyer to defend this podcast. He's been your lawyer to defend you in a previous life.
Yeah, but he's around if anybody does. You know, if any influencer comes out of the woodwork, tries to sue us.
Is this like you trying to threaten them that, you know, nothing... Yeah, we know lawyers.
I'm not trying to threaten anyone. We're just going to have a great chat with him on Monday.
Well, we really want to get to the bottom of whether influencers are like, this is defamation, if it actually is.
Yeah. So we can't wait for you to join us then. And as we said, if you do have time, this is a passion project of ours. And if you do enjoy the podcast, we would love if you could leave us a review, preferably a 5-star one.
Please drown out some of the negative reviews that the influencers, I mean, other people have been leaving.
Tell us if you love our toilet talk. Maybe that's a reason to give her 5 stars.
And could you also share it with a friend, because I suppose that's the only way it's going to grow as well. Or share it on your Insta story and tag us at outspoken_the_podcast.
And have a lovely weekend.